بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to our beloved listeners from Radio Islam International as well as to our listeners on Sirius FM. You tune in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and today we're talking about the importance of maktab education. I just like to share an article that I read recently from the Jamiat at KZN. I think it was very, very pertinent to what we're going to be talking about today. The maktab has always played a pivotal role in the children of the ummah. It is at the maktab that our youth learn the fundamental principles of Islam that enable them to love and practice as Muslims. Maktab education is essential in the life of every Muslim child, and it is our duty as parents and guardians of our youth to ensure that they receive its instruction. A very, very important topic today, and inshallah to help us with the discussion today, we have on our panel today Maulana Muhammad Iqbal Adam from Bloemfontein. Maulana Adam was the principal of Madrasa to Siddiq in Bloemfontein for 10 years. He taught Islamic studies at the Welcome Muslim School. He runs Yunus Dawah Center, also in Bloemfontein, which caters for the Madrasa needs of young children, Rivet Muslims, and Hafiz al-Quran. Maulana presents workshops countrywide that help to empower parents, teachers, and our youth through Deen. We also have Muallima Zakira Ansarmia, who I'm always so proud to have with me on my show. She's also my mentor. She is part of Radio Islam International. She is our supervisor. She has vast experience teaching maktab to the youth and teens, and she's also the presenter of Female Masail on Radio Islam International. Our lines will be open on 011-854-1548. Please do call us. We would love to hear your views. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to both our guests this morning on Youth Talk.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Apa Zakira and Samia? Apa Zakira? Okay, I think while we're going to get hold of Apa Zakira again, Maulana Adam, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Okay, Maulana Adam, a very, very pertinent topic. And I think before we start, I just like to mention this from my point of view. Like I said, you know, whatever it is that we discussed today, first and foremost is a reminder to myself. When we think of the maktab, I remember myself as a young girl, you know, my siblings, obviously the neighbors, you know, going with our little burqas and the kurtas and the abayas and your jugdan, and you're taking a walk to the madrasa and you see all these children in the madrasa, and we're coming back home and we're learning and we're talking about what we've learned, and we copying our parents while they're making salah, and we asking, you know, little boys asking their fathers, can I come with you to the masjid? And little girls asking their mothers, can I read salah with you? Teach me how to make wudu. Do you still observe a lot of that right now?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to all the listeners of Radio Islam, mothers and sisters. Yes, who observe it currently?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very heartwarming sight to see children coming back from madrasa and with the jugdans and the Qurans. I think it's going on, and alhamdulillah, from our time to now, you still observe it. It may be small towns, especially in Free State, in Bloemfontein,
mm-hmm.
where there were no Muslims, Indians allowed. And at a community like that, you see children going to madrasa and coming back with their kurtas. And yes,
it's very heartwarming. Gee, yes, I think we have Apa Zakira back online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apa Zakira.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bibi Aisha. Sorry about that, little bit of a technical glitch, but alhamdulillah, I'm back.
No problem at all. I was just mentioning to Maulana Adam that it is so heartwarming to see these young children, you know, walking with their siblings or their parents and walking to madrasa in the burqas, in the kurtas, eager to share the knowledge that they've learned in madrasa, you know, trying to emulate their parents when they're making salah, asking mom and dad, can we make wudu with you, and sharing that knowledge. I mean, it's definitely something when you look at it and you look and you say, subhanallah.
Yes, most certainly. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What I think is most heartwarming, really, is to see that parents are making this concerted effort to bring their children to an institute where they know there is benefit for them to be had. The fact that we see this whole cycle of parents still wanting, because we know that in the times that we live in, generally it is thought of that madrasa or maktab, as we would call it, is secondary. So seeing that parents still find the benefit in doing so definitely is heartwarming on its own. And if I were to think back, as Mulana was very nicely painting for us a picture there, I clearly remember our days at Madrasa also. People in Port Elizabeth would know that they are little, I don't know what you used to call them, berries, but we were little kids and we used to call them sirkis.
Okay.
So madrasa, yes, the madrasa that we had used to have these lines of sirki trees that you had to walk past.
Mm-hmm.
So never mind your juzdan hanging around your neck. It would probably be hanging on a branch and climb up to the tree to pick a few along the way. But alhamdulillah, those were the good old days.
Beautiful memories. And the thing is that, you know, treading on the path that sets the foundation for every decision that you're going to make later in life, because you are treading on the path where you are on a quest to learn deen. And that most importantly, you know, that's the fundamental principle. So, Mulana Adam and after Zakira, I'm going to direct the question to after Zakira. And Mulana Adam, you're more than welcome to add on. What does the Quran and Hadith say about the parents' role in educating children about deen? After Zakira.
SubhanAllah, I think, you know, Sister Bibi Aisha, in the Quran, the Quran is replete with emphasis on the fact that we should learn and, you know, we should become those, what's the word I'm looking for, bastions, or those people who will carry this message forward.
Mm-hmm.
And by giving us that instruction, it may not be a clear indication to explain that we're meant to be parents who make our children go to maktab, but many Mufassirin would explain to you that this basically indicates that not only is it a responsibility on us to ensure that our dini knowledge, and when I say us, I'm loosely speaking about parents, grandparents, but also for us to pass on this knowledge.
Most definitely.
So beautiful, really, in that even when speaking about the Anbiya alayhimu salam, like in the case of Ismail alayhi salam, many of us just speak about Ismail alayhi salam as being the one, you know, when you think about Ismail, you think about Qurbani,
mm-hmm.
and you think about those things. But in another ayah of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how he instructed his family to pray salah, or, you know, to establish the salah. What do we understand from this? We understand that not only were the Anbiya alayhimu salam those who placed emphasis on passing on the message of Islam to others, but even their own family, even their own family. And that's where we understand that as a parent, we have this responsibility.
Most definitely. Mulana Adam, would you like to add to that, please?
Yeah, but I think the first verse of the Quran that was revealed was Iqrah.
Mm-hmm.
Means read and learn. If you look at Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran, Allah says the most gracious, he who taught you the Quran. So if you look at this, the system of education was taught to us from the first revelation of the Quran. Nabi Kareem
Sallallahu
started the madaris, the maktab system, in educating the Sahabas and teaching them example in the case of hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Mulana. Please go ahead.
When the people were captured at the Battle of Badr, Nabi Sawstam battled with them and said, okay, let's work out a deal. You people can read and write, so you teach the Sahabas to read and write, which will benefit them in the ulum of deen.
Mm.
So yes, from the Quranic perspective, there's so many verses that shows the fadail of madaris, of maktabs,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
systems. Yeah.
And also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed us, learn from the cradle to the grave. So obviously,
yeah.
if you're learning about your deen, inshallah, it'll help you to perfect your dunya, inshallah.
Yes.
May Allah accept from us. Mulana, I was going to ask you, I think we've lost Abba Zakira again. We're just going to see if we can get her back online. How do our religious beliefs and value system, us as parents, guardians, family members, aunties, uncles, grandparents, how does it affect our children?
You know, you have a madras system, you have a maktab system, where we all have been to madrasa,
mm-hmm.
alhamdulillah. When our forefathers came into this country, South Africa or any country, they put up a masjid and a madrasa.
Yes.
And what happened with that is even if you're going for 2 hours to madrasa just to learn Quran and surah or duas or whatever, it has an impact on your beliefs and values, because some way or the other, that maktab system had an impact. Remember, it's not just a system just coming to sit in the madrasa.
Of course,
It's a nur. It's a nur that is directly connected to our beloved Muhammad Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam.
So just coming to that maktab system, it has a structure of beliefs and values in your life until you die. Example, certain beliefs and values that we have in our life, yourself too, about Islam, about the perspective of deen, that has come to you from either your ustad in the madrasa, or either the mu'allima in the madrasa, that has inculcated something to you in your life about performing salah.
Of course, about
making your azkar, about reading Quran, about the benefits of Jummah. You know, these are the beliefs and values.
But Maulana, also, before we even come to the ustad, we're thinking about also, you know, the belief system that you have, what you've learned about your deen, you are going to practice in your life and at home. And your children are watching you. And we always say children learn more from what we do than what we say. So if you're reading Salah, your child is going to learn from you. If you are reading Quran and you're practicing upon the deen, then that's what your children are going to do from you. They're going to learn that from you as well.
Exactly. And Appa, you remember the time when we grew up, when we were young, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that the beliefs and values that the parents put to us about the importance of madrasa,
that
has flowed on in our blood, that you will find that our generation is keeping up with the maktab system and the madrasa system, you know?
Most definitely. Abdul Zakir, we can just go to you. Like we said, how do our religious beliefs and value systems affect our children? The importance of maktab, you know, for parents as well. You know, how important is maktab? I know when we were growing up, obviously, it was non-negotiable. You come back from school, you get ready, you go for madrasa.
So, Subir Aisha, you know, it's amazing there that Maulana brings out this point as well. And I think I'm just going to emphasize a little more on that we live in a much more multicultural society now than we ever did back then. Maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I just feel that our children today are much more exposed to the various cultural practices that are looked at as norm in other societies. And when I say looked at as norm, I mean that even many Muslim people are starting to accept. And look, that's a discussion for another day, but because this is such, this is where the lines get blurred for our children when we don't send them somewhere or we don't imbibe it within them right from the beginning in our very homes, where we get them to understand what Islam is about, what Islam says about certain things, what we're meant to be doing and not doing, so that when they are exposed to these things, they know that they don't need to feel, you know, they're not suffering from FOMO, as they say, the fear of missing out.
Yes.
Because that is happening to our youth more and more in today's time. Because they don't, you know, because they're not totally happy, so to say, with being who they are, because we haven't grounded them enough in our Islamic belief, they then tend to feel like this, that they're missing out on.
Okay, very, very valuable points that Abu Zakir has brought up. Okay, something that is very, very important, and, you know, this obviously stands out for me. I'm sure it stands out for a lot of our listeners. Like we said, this is a reminder for us first, that madrasa actually begins at home on the mother's lap. And I'm going to say father's lap as well. You know, we need to break stereotypes. And what are your thoughts about that, Maulana Adam and Abu Zakir? Because, I mean, obviously, like we said, by the time we go to madrasa, we're like 6 or 7 years old already. But from the time we were born, learning your kalima, watching your parents make salah, learning wudu, the du'as that you read before you start eating, making salam, where did we learn all of that from? Who did we observe it from? Maulana Adam?
A very good question, Abba, and I agree with you. parents should be connected with the children psychologically, emotionally, especially when it comes for the teaching of the children for madrasa, for maktab, for whatever reasons. Alhamdulillah, you are right. We all have, when before we went to madrasa, our parents were our teachers,
yes,
you know,
yes,
in educating us. But the lifestyle, as Appa Zakira has mentioned, has changed. I don't think the parents have enough time, or they're not making time to spend enough time with their children in matters of their deen or maktabs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this matters, especially in today's time, I would salute the asatiza, the muallimas, and the molanas, who are doing a phenomenal job, because they have taken this role which the parents are supposed to play, you know.
Mm-hmm. But in defense of that also, like I said, obviously, you know, the job that the muallimas and ustad have taken, may Allah reward them in abundance, because they're obviously imparting knowledge of deen. And so that obviously the reward is amazing. Obviously the blessings from Allah is countless. But also with parents, remember again, parents have attended madrasa, they've also put in practice in their lives what they've learned. They probably may be attending adult classes, we don't know. But also when it comes to different principles, when it comes to tajweed, when it comes to aqaid, when it comes to seerah,
yes,
parents,
yes,
don't have that knowledge. Hence they're sending their children to madrasas to acquire that knowledge. And also, as much as children are learning at the maktab, when they come home, when they are studying for their exams for madrasa, or they're putting into practical experience what they've learned when it comes to ghusl, parents are learning from them as well. Do you agree, Appa Zakira?
Sister Vibhasha, to an extent, yes, I do agree.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to bring up a point here, you know, very, very important there, where you say that the parents may not have had the opportunity to basically learn as much as, you know, is found in today.
Mm-hmm.
Or because
mm-hmm.
of the, you know, long period of time that has passed,
yes,
it may have become that they've forgotten a little bit along the way.
Yes.
One of the things that, Sister Vibhasha, we need to remember is that no one can ever do this for you, and that is give your child the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And this is key. And for this to happen, we need to carry that maktab environment into our home. And that is why we need to let the children know the importance of maktabai. You know, just like we ask them to take out their homework for school, what do they have? We need to ask them, what do you need to learn for maktab today? You know, madrasa, what homework do you have? Do you need to learn a surah or a kalima? Or perhaps even you've done practicals of falah in madrasa? Oh, mashallah, come, we're praying falah. Let's pray falah as a family,
yes,
you know. And whilst doing this, sit down with them and say, remember Appa taught you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you everything? So when you went down into sajda today, what did you ask Allah for? So bringing,
yes,
alive the maktab in the home is where we tie the two ends.
Mm-hmm.
And where we let children understand that this maktab is not something you're just learning, you know, like we learn science and you just put it away on the shelf and you take it out the next time you have a test. No, our maktab knowledge is very, very different. It's very much a practical way of life.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And hence, like you say, the importance of attending madrasa is building that foundation that we need to exist as Muslims and to practice upon the sunnah of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and learning about Quran, learning about Sharia. And whether the child is in grade 1 or the child is in matric, when it comes to deen, you're always going to be learning. You and I as adults, Munana Adam, we're still learning. We are still learning. I think with maktab education, it doesn't ever end. We're still learning. What we're going to do is we're going to break for ads, and inshallah when we return, we're going to be talking about the changes that have occurred over time. And inshallah, we look forward to hearing from you on 011-854-1548. Jazakumullahu khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. And today we're talking about the importance of maktab education. Inshallah, this next half of the show will be better. I know we had a bit of technical glitches, but all seems to be sorted out now. My panelists today is Appa Zakira from KZN and Molana Muhammad Iqbal, Adam from Bloemfontein. And just before the break, we spoke about the importance of maktab education. how the parents left is actually their child's first madrasa. And as a society, what are we teaching our children? Where are we placing the emphasis on deen and dunya? That's something we need to focus on. Okay, now the reality of the situation is that there has been a lot of changes in maktab from the time that we were young, obviously, to now. I'm not going to say how old we are, but I'm just saying there's been a lot of changes. You know, a lot of the Muslim schools incorporate an Islamic curriculum. So in that way, the maktab education is also provided at school. So that's a separate topic altogether. But the changes that have come in when children attend private schools that may be far away from home, or maybe if they move out of areas where they have maktabs that have been set up for many years. So what happens then when children have these extracurricular activities where they only get dismissed from school maybe at 4:30, or maybe 3:30, or maybe 5:00, maybe they have these activities twice or three times a week, what do they do? How do they go to madrasa? What happens then? So Malana Adam, I'm going to start off with you first. What are your views about all these changes that have come about? You know, like now, you know, there are a lot of private madrasas. Sometimes there are children that are still gaining the maktab education, but in a more, can I say an individual setup where it could be one ustad and maybe just 2-3 children, as compared to when we attended, you know, classes where there were 25 or 30 people?
It's a very good question, Afa. I would just, before I answer your question, I'd just like to talk on the point that you brought up before about the parents involved with the children. Just for a second. I have found in my experiences that, alhamdulillah, today the children are teaching their parents the tajweed.
Alhamdulillah.
Because, you know, when we grew up, we learned the alif, ba, ta, sa, jim, ha. And today the children have learned the proper style, and many parents come to me and they tell me, I never knew the way my child is learning, I'm learning from my children, you know.
Subhanallah.
So there are situations like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, Appa, you are right in this question of yours is very important. You find in today's time, as Appa Zakira mentioned in the beginning, that the situations have changed. It's not like our time. There's extra curriculum in schools and different, and it might be the children cannot attend madrasas. So in this regard, it's also applaudable to see that there are apas and mu'allimas currently that are doing madrasas privately to accommodate these students, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very applaudable thing. I met one person that's got a mobile madrasa.
Wow, that is so impressive. That is so creative.
Yeah. So he basically goes house to house with his mobile caravan, mm-hmm, and teaching children at home. It's something that the madaris is still continuing, but due to the fact of the systems and the extracurricular activities,
mm-hmm,
the normal madrasa might not accommodate these children.
Which is
so
true.
So yes, alhamdulillah, I would salute the parents today that they are making an effort to keep the system going, you know.
Yes, and there's many
in different ways.
Yes, and like we said, there are many, many ways. I mean, even if you live in an area where there may not be a masjid, you know, there's probably a jamaat khana that's being set up. I'm sure it would be, you know, easy to maybe get a hold of a few parents and ask them, okay, I have a child at so-and-so age and we need, you know, to have a maktab system in place. Can we, you know, club in together and, you know, get in an ustad that can accommodate for our children, you know? So there's many ways that, you know, we can make sure that the children are getting maktab education. Abba Zakira, what are your thoughts?
Sister Vibasha, I think it's really important that we look at the way we're living nowadays. So because of the fact that we really do want our children to excel in various fields, and mashallah, we do need those doctors, those lawyers, you know, all of that in the Islamic field as well. And so we do want our children to excel. So sometimes maybe after school, we're sending them for extra tuition so that they may do better at a certain subject. All that in its place.
Yes.
But what we perhaps need to place emphasis on is the fact that as much as they're going to be a great doctor, they're not going to know about the empathy that's meant to be shown to a patient, you know, from the point of, if I am a Muslim first, I would know that. I'm not going to know how to keep my finances in order if I'm a great businessman, but if I'm a Muslim first, I will know why it is important to do that. So the point that I'm making, and to come to your question, is that this is why our children need the masjid. They need it because that Islamic education, that foundation that we give them, will basically help them build their entire life on that structure. And yes, the madrasas may not necessarily be accommodating for all the extracurricular activities, but Sister Bibi Aisha, I think I told you this before the program, you know, when we were discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But alhamdulillah, I have children who are going to Islamic school, who do extracurricular activities, who go for the tuition, but still make time to come to madrasa.
MashaAllah.
And here's where I'm speaking to the teachers now. Those days are gone where we now look at the students and say, madrasa started at 3 o'clock. Why are you walking in at a quarter to four? No, those days are long gone. Yes, we still need students who are going to come at the right time so that we can teach them the proper syllabus and all of that. But nowadays, even if a student chooses to come in after an extracurricular activity at way beyond the time that madrasa has started, we still smile, we accommodate them, we bring them in, we make them feel warm and welcome. We let madrasa be that place that they feel happy to come in, that they're not going to be shouted at, that they mustn't be scared to come in a few minutes late. We're not saying to lose essence of madrasa and, you know, make it feel like somewhere where you go when you want to and you don't go where you don't want to. No, that's not the case. But we need to make them feel that we won't be on their cases about not coming in punctually, etc. That we are happier if they attend rather than that they don't attend at all.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Now, I have a question here from one of the listeners that sent this, a message to me. You know, I think either one of the guests can answer this. Is there a difference between the maktab madrasa and the madrasa? I mean, prior to me having this discussion with both my guests, I also thought there was a difference. But I think rather let the experts, inshallah, answer their question. Is there a difference between maktab and madrasa, or is it the same thing? Malana Adam?
Ji, what was the question about?
Is there a difference between maktab and a madrasa, or is it actually just the same thing?
Between maktab and madrasa?
Yes.
Is there a difference?
Does it mean the same thing?
What's the question, Mafa?
The word maktab and the word madrasa. Does it mean the same thing, or is there a difference?
No. Maktab and madrasa, basically madrasa means dars. Comes from the word dars, it means to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And maktab also is the same thing in the Arabic language. So it's not a difference word. It's just a certain madrasas will call themselves madrasa, and certain madrasas will call themselves maktab, you know?
Okay, so it's actually the same thing.
It's the same thing. Madrasa is a place where you learn,
and
maktab is a place where you write and read. So it's the same thing.
Appa Zakira, you were adding on?
I was just going to add on there that, you know, subhanAllah, I think one of the reasons why our primary makatib or maktabs are called this is because it goes way back to the time where Jibreel alayhi salam came down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the whole process of learning started there. And if you read the words of Hadith Jibreel, it speaks about Jibreel alayhi salam sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asnada rukbata ila rukbatayhi. So they sat so closely that their knees were touching. And the point that I'm making from this is that that is where the current maktab situation now would be. You know, when I'm speaking about primary, I'd speak about if you were to picture it in your head, where the carpets are rolled out, where there's those little desks that are on the floor and the students are sitting there, and if you went to go give your Quran lesson, then you're sitting in front of your teacher, basically a few centimeters between your knee and his knee. This is where it went back to, subhanAllah. This is where it went back to. And the word maktab in Arabic, actually, one of the meanings is desk. So I think that's perhaps where we also came up with this whole system of, you know, using the word for a madrasa, the afternoon madrasa, as maktab, because we use those desks and we sit on the floor. And subhanAllah, this will always be, for me personally, the best way of learning Quran.
Subhanallah. In fact, you know, I had a message from somebody just now as well. This person just made an inquiry saying that, you know, when we have children that are becoming Hafiz al-Quran and they taken out from school and, you know, they're doing their hifz, what happens later with them? You know, do they attend madrasa later? Because once they start performing tarawih, when it comes to tajweed or when it comes to other aspects of deen, in what way are they getting that education while they're becoming Hafiz al-Quran? So if anybody could please answer that for me as well. You know, just for the benefit of the listeners, inshallah.
If I could maybe just say a word and then inshallah I will leave it to Molana to answer better, because, you know, being a male, I'm sure he has much more skill on that.
Molana Adam.
I'll answer that then. I'll answer it.
Okay, I think both of you are looking to see what is the best way forward to do this. The question was, I think you've heard the question. So the person becoming Hafiz al-Quran is taken out of school and madrasa and, you know, focusing on becoming Hafiz al-Quran. What happens then when that person needs to learn the other aspects of deen? Do they attend the madrasa later? Or what generally is done? What is the best advice?
If I could, Sister Rivasha, if I could just come in there, inshallah.
Sure.
So, I think, you know, the parent asking the question is actually asking a very valid question. Simply because, mashallah, the Hafiz al-Quran can have his gifts like, you know, what they would say, patku, or like, perfect. You know, he could be really flawlessly. But here's the thing, right? He's the imam in front of the masjid. He's the imam leading the congregation. He's standing there in front of the masjid. And if he doesn't know the rules of salah, then we have a problem too.
Mm.
So this is why learning the basic fiqh, aqaid, you know, a simple thing, like if he were to recite an ayah of Quran and perhaps make a small little error, like putting a fatha where there's supposed to be a dhamma, it could change the meaning of the entire sentence. And this could basically nullify the salah. And it's for reasons like this that we need them to have a very holistic understanding of deen. So whereas the hifz is very important and it's quite time consuming at the same time, I would suggest that maybe a once in a week lesson for this learner over here would be preferred in terms of the other subjects, other aspects of deen. But I do also know of many madrasas, alhamdulillah, who give the students on a daily basis, the hifz students on a daily basis, a little dars in all the other aspects of deen. But inshallah, I'm sure Molana has much more experience on this than me.
Well, mashallah, that makes a lot of sense. Very practical.
I think I'm always positive from the beginning.
Good to be positive.
I'm always. I think that from my experiences, I think all the madrasas that are doing his classes, the students are accommodated for aqaid and fiqh and, and different masails throughout the country, alhamdulillah. Wherever there's a his class, it's combined with aqaid and fiqh. I've never seen a separation on it, you know. In this whole country, it's part and parcel of the whole thing.
Alhamdulillah. So they're given this whole sort of holistic education with regards to the.
It doesn't become a separation. It becomes part and parcel of the same system, you know.
That makes a lot of sense. Again, I think I need to also emphasize, I think we said this earlier in the show and we need to talk about it again, the appreciation and the respect and the dignity that we need to give to our ustads that are teaching us about deen. The mu'allimas, the ustads, the hafiz al-Quran, the alims, the alimas, who are taking time out of their life and they're imparting knowledge of deen. And sometimes it can be where, you know, they are overlooked. Ah, that's just my madrasa, that's just the Molana, and I just go there for 1 hour. That whole idea needs to change. Because so many things, me as an adult, when I think back of things that I'm doing in my life, and I would remember that, remember my Appa taught me to read Salah this way, or my Ustad told us that this is what we should do when we're doing wudu, and we do reflect on that, we do go back on that. So that respect for the teachers of deen is very, very, very important. Because what they have taught you, you will take with you for life. So I think that's something very, very important. Molana Adam, after Zakira, please, would you like to elaborate on that?
I'll let Molana go and elaborate.
You know, the first aspect in our life is that Nabi Sallam said, "Lam yashkina kurillah." He who does not show gratefulness to people that have been good for you, you have not shown gratefulness to Allah, you know. As a Muslim ummah in this country, we should acknowledge our ulama, our muallimas especially. We should acknowledge them. We should acknowledge their efforts, you know. Because if we're not going to acknowledge our alimas and our ustads and our maktabs and madat, then Allah Ta'ala will take away these ni'mats from us, you know. We have ni'mats today. We have freedom of all this. But it's time that we learn to appreciate them. And what Appa is saying is correct. The ustads that are imparting this knowledge, as parents, we should respect them. Our children will start respecting this ustads, you know.
Of course.
I'll just give you one example, Appa. Close to Ustad Azhar Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the first person to start Bukhari in this country. And that is why, with Mulana's Baraka, there's all darulums throughout the country, you know.
And the efforts of so many other great people, may Allah reward them.
But I'll just share you one example. When I traveled with my Ustad, we came to Benoni, and there was a man with a shirt and trousers. And Molana visited him and kissed him. And I asked Molana, who's this person? He said, this is my ustad that taught me Alif Bata. So he's the man that taught me Bukhari, you know. So that apa that's imparting the knowledge, teaching your child Alif Bata, she has a great value, because that's the apa that made your child a hafiz, you know. That's the apa that made your child stand on the musalla and read Tarawih.
Definitely.
That's the acknowledgement I personally believe we as parents should acknowledge and respect this ulama and our muallimas, you know.
Most definitely. Abu Zakira?
Okay, so I'm going to say this, but I hope it doesn't sound like it's coming from the wrong place, okay? It's just that I think in our communities, we do have a sort of misconception. And what this misconception is that if a child were naughty, if a child were out of line, if they couldn't do anything else, then the only place we send them to is a Darul Uloom, or, you know, we send them somewhere. Also, almost as though these places were concentration camps. I would like to change that today. And alhamdulillah, on a platform like Radio Islam, where it's an international platform, I'd like to say that my dear mothers and sisters, my dear fathers and brothers out there, who have any alim or alima in your family, look at them through different eyes. They did not go to study Deen and Quran because they didn't have anything else to do, because they didn't have a place, you know, at a university or a college. This is a choice that they made. And wallahi, I have had students, just up for last year, alhamdulillah, who were studying alima with us, or classes, alima classes with us, and who said to me, this student did her PhD, and she came and she started doing alima, and she said to me, Appa, the subjects that we study here require so much of concentration and so much of, you know, my brain, and these were her words, you know. She says that even when I studied for my PhD, I didn't have to study this hard. So all I'd like to say is that the people that we look at sometimes as people who are not as intelligent, so to say, in the community, are indeed people that have sacrificed their lives to study Deen, not because they didn't have anything else to do, but because they saw the beauty of Deen, and they saw the, you know, the challenge of learning Deen.
So
let us look at them with different eyes, inshallah.
Most definitely.
And anyone who has gone through, you know, becoming an alima or becoming an alim would tell you that study for those final exams, and you'd know what exams really mean.
Most definitely. And then again, also, you know, something that, you know, we've always learned when we're growing up, also when, you know, I've noticed family members that are becoming Hafiz al-Quran, and their ustaz would tell them that what you're learning today, what you're learning about your Quran today, is going to open up so many doors for you in the dunya, because you have put Allah first. And these are things that you remember all the time. There's something I'd also just like to mention to our listeners, that it doesn't matter how old you may think you are, when it comes to knowledge, there's a wealth of knowledge out there, especially when it comes to our deen. There is no shame for an adult man or woman to say, I want to go back to madrasa and I want to learn aqaid, or I want to learn tajweed, or I want to learn sirah. There is no shame in there. It is beautiful what it is that you learn. You can practice in your lives. You can influence the people around you. And most importantly, you're telling Allah Pak that I want to learn more about this beautiful deen because I want to become closer to you. So I think that's very, very important as well. I have 2 minutes and I'm going to ask both my guests very, very quickly. Maaf Malan Adam, one moment. We're going to round up in, well, I think it's like a minute now. Very, very quickly, your closing messages to our listeners. What advice would you tell our listeners? Mulana Adam, you go first.
Advice to the listeners?
Yes. Regarding maktab education.
Alhamdulillah, I'm always positive. I think in this country of ours, no matter which level the parents might be, but I salute the parents, they are always looking out for Islamic education.
SubhanAllah.
In whichever way you look at it, every parent that I've met and I know, the outcome is always that the child has to learn. They have to learn deen. They have to learn Islamic education.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give advice to the parents and say that may Allah reward them.
Ameen.
No matter whichever background they come from, the heart and the soul is based on deen. And may Allah keep them like this. And that is a great sadaqah jariyah for you in this world and in the year after. It will benefit you in the qabr also, just by teaching that child the ulum of deen.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everybody's efforts, inshallah. Abu Zakira?
I think Burana has actually ended on a very, as he says, positive note, mashallah, so I'm not going to deliberate too much. I'm just going to say the same that Mulana said, or just add to that, inshallah, that we should never look at our maktabs, you know, as a place where our children are just getting a secondary education, but rather this is their primary education. Literally and truly their primary education. It is their building blocks for the akhirah, inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the makatib grow from strength to strength, they flourish.
Ameen.
And may the teachers be rewarded abundantly. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ameen, thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. And something I just need to share with the listeners that, you know, since joining Radio Islam, alhamdulillah, as an adult woman, I've learned so much about deen that I thought that I knew. Certain things that when we were in madrasa, you know, we practiced for so many years, and then you realize that I didn't know that. So like I said, you are never too old to learn. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, learn from the cradle to the grave. And whatever it is that you learn in the path of deen, you are gaining close towards Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts. Abu Zakira, Mu'allima, like I said, I've learned so much from you. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you in abundance, as well as Mulana Adam. I've learned so much from you, and may our listeners benefit from you, inshallah. May the Almighty Allah reward you in abundance for the outstanding work that you are doing in educating and empowering our youth and the people that you interact with in the path of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, inshallah. Jazakumallah khairan. Ameen. And to our beloved listeners, thank you so much for your patience. I know we had a bit of glitches today, but jazakumallah khairan to my engineer Shuaib for sorting it all out. Inshallah, I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please remember us in your du'as, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and be pleased with us, inshallah. For myself, Bibi Aisha Lahir, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.